Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Well, hey, everybody. Happy Father's Day again. Man, we have such an incredible moment here at C3 Toronto for this year, 2020 Father's Day. We got this amazing panel, and here are my panelists today. So just want everybody in your living room, where you're watching, just welcome Ryan Watkins here, Leonard Poor, and Pastor Lorne Tebbett all the way on the TV screen from C3 Calgary. If you don't know, this is the church that where Jess and I were from before we started C3 Toronto, and Pastor Lorne and Kelly Tebbett, they're our overseers, and Pastor Lorne is my spiritual father. And I thought, wouldn't it be a great opportunity to have a discussion on Father's Day about fathering? And right now, between the four of us guys, wouldn't you believe, there is 13 children represented here, and five, I believe, four and one on the way, Pastor Lorne, grandchildren. Is that right, Pastor Lorne?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, four and a half grandchildren.
Four and a half. I wasn't sure if that was a public announcement yet. So between us...
It is now.
Yeah, right. Congrats, Stephen and Brittany. So between the four of us and our wives and our kids and grandchildren, that's 26 people represented here right now. How cool is that?
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Awesome. And so here we are. Happy Father's Day, guys.
Thanks. Happy
Father's Day. Do you want to say hi to everybody?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
Awesome. So why don't we just go along just quickly and just quickly introduce yourselves and your family, like how many kids you have, what their names are, and kind of get through it. We should have some photos that pop up during this time. So, Ryan, why don't we start with you?
Sure. So I'm Ryan. My wife is Sherry. We have two boys, two energetic boys, Weston, who's going to be turning 5 in October, and Roman, who's almost 11 months.
Yeah, amazing family. Amazing family. How long have you been in C3 Toronto for?
I think around 2.5 years.
Yeah. I was going to say about 3 years.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's been amazing.
Such an incredible story too, by the way. I don't know how much we're going to get into it, but we've seen some amazing miracles from your family along the way. Leonard, introduce yourself.
So, hi. My name is Leonard, and I'm married to Cheryl. We moved to Toronto from Singapore 2 years ago. I've got two boys, Jared, who's 14, and Jordan, who just turned 12. Very different personalities, but amazing kids, and we love them, and, you know, we just love being here.
So good. Pastor Lorne.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Lorne, and I'm from Calgary. We moved from Saskatchewan in 1995 to plant the church here in Calgary, and have planted a few since. We have three grown children, and we have 4.5 grandchildren.
Yeah, amazing. And our church, absolutely. I mean, it's an honor to have you here, Pastor Lorne. It's an honor to have you guys on the panel. But our church, everyone is so pumped about today. Pastor Lorne and Kelly are like our favorites when they come in, and just it's just an incredible honor to have you here today.
Thank you.
So awesome. Thanks. Hey, so why don't we just start with something a bit light, like any dad jokes, any good, like, come on, we're all dads. Any good dad jokes? Why don't we start with Pastor Lorne? You know any good jokes?
Well, my kids were always, they would always groan at my jokes. So instead of having jokes, I decided I need to start having puns. And I found that there was a pun contest, and I sent 10 of my favorite puns in for the contest, and I was hoping to win, but no pun intended.
no pun intended. That's so awesome. I love it. That's the qualifier of a dad joke, is the cringe factor. And you guys, Ryan, Leonard, you wanna share a joke for the people?
Oh yeah, I've got one.
Come on.
So what did the crab? Why does the crab not share his food?
Why?
Because he's shellfish.
I love that. That's awesome.
I don't have a dad joke, but I got a dad fail this week.
What's your dad fail?
So
I feel like I have one of those every week.
Every day, probably, yeah. Right? So Roman had just finished eating. He was in his high chair. So I took him out. I was going to give him a bath. He was just covered in food. So I took him out, took off his diaper, took him to the bath. I smelt something funny. Like, what is that smell? I looked down. Poo all over all over my shirt. The rookie mistake of not checking the diaper when I took it off.
I actually did the same thing this week with our baby daughter Ayla. So I didn't tell everybody about our kids. I have a 6-year-old son, a 4-year-old daughter, and then a brand new 3-month-old daughter. It's our COVID secret baby. But did the same thing. I thought she wet her pants. And so I just whipped them off thinking it was just a number onesie. Oh, and when I did, it was a very, very onesie feeling number twosie. And it went everywhere. Oh. That's some dad love right there. No, I mean, I used to know a lot of dad jokes about retired people. But I have to apologize because, you know, simply none of them work.
Good.
No?
Good.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. I want to ask, what's one of the favorite things that you like to do with your kids? Pastor Lorne, what's one of your favorite things you like to do with your kids?
Well, yeah, of course, right now, for us, it's the family table, gather around the table. But as we were younger, our favorite thing was camping together. And because you had time to pass along skills to the kids during that time, as well, you were separated from any, at that time, just television, but... And now I think with the grandkids, my favorite thing is reading to them. And in as I sit with them and we read together in that time, they get to hear my voice and get to hear some interpretations of things in the stories for me. So it's reading to the grandkids and camping with the kids.
Oh, that's awesome. The table, hey? Leonard, what's one table. Favorite thing you love doing with your kids?
Oh, it's got to be movie nights.
Movie nights.
Movie nights. So we're movie buffs. The boys and I, we love like action movies, like Star Wars movies, like superhero movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have they watched through all the Star Wars?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. 1 to 9.
That's some quality time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Ryan.
Yeah. So for me, the little guys are still young. So yeah. So Roman, there's not much. But with Weston, he loves to go for a bike ride.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a cyclist one day because he can go
really?
Way farther than I want to go.
Amazing.
A few weeks ago, I took a picture. We started at the CN Tower. Then I took another picture, and you could hardly see the CN Tower. That's how far that we went. So yeah, he's
that's impressive.
Yeah, he's a monster bike rider, and it gets out all his energy, which is great for bedtime.
Right.
So true.
That's awesome. Double strategy there.
Yeah.
Lots of wrestling in my household. My kids are young too, so lots of tickle fights. What a bit of a deeper question here. What's one of the most meaningful and impactful things that your dad did for you? So, Ryan?
So my dad is my everything, my hero. Growing up, I always looked up to my dad. And it's hard to pick one thing, but I would say just teaching me how to be a father, just teaching me how to be a man. And take responsibility.
Awesome.
And grow up my kids.
What's one thing that stands out with what he taught you to be a father? Like,
yeah, I think his work ethic. He was one to always work hard, always to provide.
So good.
Yeah, and I've taken that in my life as well to make sure I can put these kids in the best place possible.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Leonard?
Oh, my dad. He's taught me so much. I mean, like Ryan, the work ethic. And I think the one thing that really stood out was just being a man of your word, like keeping your word. When you give your word, you don't take it back.
Right.
And
come on.
Even if it gets inconvenient at times, but you're still going to, like, you know, follow through with what you said you're going to do. So that's sort of like basically how I've lived my life. And it's helped me so much in my career and my relationships and my marriage. Even relationship with my kids as well, and even in ministry, and it's been amazing. Yeah, it's helped me so much.
And sometimes it's very difficult to keep your word.
That's true.
Do you want to speak into that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, especially when you're tired and like you promise your kids that you're going to do something with them and or just spend time with them and you're like, you just, all you want to do is just take a nap. But you know, because you gave them your word,
yeah,
and you got to like follow through because they're looking up to you and they're going to see whether, hey, is dad really going to keep his word and say that, you know, yeah, I'm going to either play basketball with you or I'm going to play video game with you. And you just got to follow through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. That's awesome. Pastor Lorne, one thing that speaks to you from what your father did.
Well, we were raised on the farm together. And so because fathering is an impartational relationship.
Come on.
And what happens is we transmit and transfer in during times of activities together mostly. And so I think that probably I could list a number of things, specific things, but the fact is, as we did things together, those were things that were the most meaningful to me because something was being transferred. And I'd have to say that, as you know, there was never nothing to do on the farm. And so probably on a negative side, contributed to workaholism in my life that I've had to get sorted out because of working hard, but as well as it passed along a very strong work ethic for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Just speaking into, like, you know, the past few weeks, and there's been the recent heightened awareness of the conversation around race, the stand against injustice. And when it comes to fathering, I know for myself, I obviously want to bring my kids up to be a part of the solution, be a voice to the solution. And I want them to learn in our household and know and grow up and be able to father them in that way. And I wanted to specifically direct this question to Ryan because, Ryan, your wife is white, so you have a biracial household. And I want you to speak into what do you do or what are you planted? I know your kids are young, but what are some of the things that you and Sherry do in fathering and parenting your kids with that in mind?
Yeah, so I think it's a unique opportunity coming and bringing cultures together that our kids get that ultimate opportunity to to see different cultures up close. You know, it's not just teaching about it, it's showing it and seeing it. And we love that. We love being able to, I know Sherry speaking about her European background and, mm-hmm. you know, we take the kids to Europe every other summer to see their family there and they love that aspect. And I get to teach them about our Jamaican heritage as well and they get to live that as well. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about some of the challenges and some of the fears that I have as well with them growing up biracial and the fact that, you know, some people will look at them differently and treat mm-hmm. them differently.
So how old is Weston right now?
He's four.
Four. And you're already talking to him about this?
Yeah, so just in a general sense, we obviously don't want to inundate him with information he's not ready for, but, you know, obviously kids see things that, you know, sometimes we think they don't, but they're always picking up what they see on TV or what they hear in school. Mm-hmm. And so we thought it was appropriate, you know, to have a conversation with him about, you know, other people out there treat people differently. But that doesn't mean you as a person inside that you have to feel your value is less than mm-hmm. and that you should approach life as being the best that you can be and being gracious to people sometimes who may not be gracious mm-hmm. to you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Has little Weston come home and experienced certain things that you felt difficult to talk to him about and to help him understand?
Yeah, so far I would say no. Mm-hmm. And so it's more of an anticipating what may come. Mm-hmm. I you know, being in COVID now, you're kind of quarantined, so you know, there's not a lot of that going on, but it's just having those conversations about what mm-hmm. what could happen and how to deal with it.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so, Leonard, your family is Asian. Mm-hmm. And so how do you parent your kids in regards to race and even helping them see some of the senses of injustice that they may experience themselves or see or any person of color that they're friends with, mm-hmm. or so on? Like, how do you father in this time?
Yeah, it's been an interesting, very unique situation that we're in. But from the time when the boys were young, we've always taught them, like, you know, to just treat your neighbor as you would yourself. Mm-hmm. And so for them to grow up and especially being exposed to a lot of like what's happening right now in the last couple of months, we've just had to sort of say it's not just about respecting the person, it's not just about loving on the person, but also if you see injustice done against that person of another color, of another race, that you speak out, that you're not just passively watching, right. and standing by, but learning to have the courage to stand up for what is right in the eyes of God and to speak up about it. So I think we're well placed in a time, because this generation of really the young people and the youth of today, they're going to grow up to become the leaders of tomorrow, and they are the ones who grew up with a renewed mindset, hopefully, with what is happening and keeping this conversation going, that when they're placed in positions of authority or positions to actually make real changes in policy that will affect society, and, you know, that's what we're kind of like hoping for, like, you know, that our kids will grow up in that kind of society, mm-hmm. eventually.
Right. One thing that I've learned from people around me, especially someone like Pastor Lorne, is the fathers before me lead such great examples. Mm-hmm. And so that is what I want to do for my kids. I want to lead by example. I want to how I am and how Jess are, that they will grow up and what walks in us will run in them. And so mm-hmm. that's my prayer for them, and that's what I'm believing for them, is that we can set a really great example for them.
Yeah.
And so it just comes very natural, and as you say, like, you know, to stand up for someone is being a good friend, mm-hmm. to stand with someone, to walk with someone, even not to just stand with someone for a moment, but how are you walking? Mm-hmm. How are you befriending?
Yeah.
And I always want to just try and be the best example that I can possibly be. And that's always like a constant learning process. But Pastor Lorne, do you want to speak into any of this?
I've just learned so much from listening to the fellows on the panel here. I maybe would just say that when we, this is what happens as an impartational relationship, we need to be constantly learning. And I think that we forget sometimes that what makes us fathers is our kids. If it wasn't for my kids, but our kids then begin to shape us. Mm-hmm. David said in the Psalms, how your sons will become your fathers. And it all, that was always a bit confusing to me. But you'll find that when you go through different seasons of fatherhood, that your children are actually reshaping you. It's like when you start to read the Bible, you'll notice that it begins to read you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so, right, it's like tracking a grizzly bear, and all of a sudden you find that his tracks are on top of yours. Mm-hmm. And it's, you're like fathering your kids, but pretty soon you find, they're the ones that are shaping, pardon me, that begin to shape me as a father. Mm-hmm. And so to stay learning, I love that what I'm hearing you guys say is we have to stay, keep learning and not assume that we know everything, mm-hmm. but allow our kids to shape us and shape the hearts of a father within us.
Amazing. Wow. How awesome is that? Ryan, what do you believe God is saying in this time? Like when it comes to the conversation around race and the stand against injustice, what do you feel God the Father in heaven saying?
Yeah, so there's so much, you know, and I've been prayerfully over this past time of turmoil, just prayerfully asking God, you know, what can I do? How can you speak through me? Mm-hmm. And a few things come to mind, you know, one about the parable of the shepherd going and leaving the 99 to go after the one sheep. And in the context of what's going on today, the black community is hurting. My community
right.
is hurting. And it takes all of us as Christians and believers to say, we need to go after them and make sure they're okay.
Come on.
And until that one is back with the rest of the flock, we still have work to do. So I think, you know, we're obviously moving in the right direction. But we as the church, we have an opportunity during this time to really show the light of God.
Right.
And also, I think it's important to know that, you know, God is for us. You know, if
right.
He's for us, who can be against us?
Right.
So, you know, even though it's a daunting task, you know, I think about all of the racism that's going on, and how do we eradicate that? And you know, what can we do? We have God on our side.
Come on.
And through Jesus, we can get there. We absolutely can. There's no task impossible for Him.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
That's awesome. So there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15 that says this: for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So I wanted to direct this to Pastor Lorne, being the preacher of all preachers that you are. What does this verse mean to you? Many instructors, but not many fathers.
Yeah, well, you're starting to tap into now the function of a father. And he's referring to spiritual fathers in this case. But I could say of all of us today that we all have fathers, noun. But the question would be, have we been fathered, verb?
Hmm.
So considering that he's actually one of the functions of a father is to establish identity in his children. And what's taking place in this passage is the Corinthians were full of gifts. But they were actually identifying with certain speakers. They were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And he's saying that while there's lots of instruction and there's lots of information taking place, there's not much impartation that's really actually happening. And
wow.
So you're actually establishing your identity from your gift or the type of person that you're relating to by virtue of instruction. But it's a small role. One of the small roles of a father is instruction. So he says, but you've only got one spiritual father. He says there's only one who actually has the true authority to be able to not just instruct you, but to direct you and to correct you. And those roles he's trying to affirm here. And if you look back, it says if you pay attention to the scriptures, you won't brag about one leader at the expense of others.
Hmm.
And then he uses the example of his spiritual son, Timothy.
Timothy, yeah.
So here's what's happening today. Many people are getting instruction. We're all shut in, and we're having, you know, our church in pajamas in our living room, and you're watching different instruction. And the fact is this, is that maybe you're enjoying some instruction from Stephen Furtick on a Sunday, but the question is, can he also correct you, and can he direct you? And the relational component that's taking place in the New Testament was always father to son. And so if you look
right.
in the beginning of the New Testament, or the genealogy of Jesus was establishing, he said he would use the term the father of, the father of, the father of, because the New Testament is a living covenant. If you look at the genealogy in Genesis, it's and he died. The New Testament pattern is that we need a spiritual lineage and spiritual heritage. And that's what he's referring to there. He says, yeah, you can get instruction from seminary. You can get it from TED Talks. You can get it from all different sources. My question is, who's your father?
Who's your father?
And
wow.
who's the one that can actually bring revelation and instruction and impartation as well as correction and direction?
Right. So what if someone's listening and they don't know how to answer that question? Who's their spiritual father? Like, there's nothing wrong with much instruction, but you can't not have that impartation that you're talking about. How would someone answer that? How would someone get that?
So, well, here's what I personally think. You know, this might be debatable, but Jesus said in John chapter 14, I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you without a father. So we have two options. The first option is that we begin or we stop acting like orphans and stop acting fatherless. We start positioning our heart like sons, which Malachi says this will reverse the curse. If a heart Because hearts of fathers are turning to their children. And would hearts of children turn towards their fathers and reverse the curse that the spirit of Elijah may come? This is what he's saying at the end of Malachi. So he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. So that means that we're not victims. That means that we're not orphans.
Come on.
And that you and I, and at any time in our day, instead of acting like we're fatherless, begin to act like, no, we do have a father. Mm-hmm. And Jesus would say this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. One of his purposes was to reveal the Father. Mm-hmm. And so you and I now can come and be re-fathered in the places for our fathers, and none of us had perfect fathers.
Yeah.
But we can be re-fathered in the very place where we took the hit. We can be reversed. But that's if we will not act like slaves, not act like servants, but begin to act like sons. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says,
right.
As many as received them, he gave the privilege to become children
Come
of
on.
God. The process of becoming children of God is where we all are at in our walk.
Wow.
With God.
That's really good. Wow. How good is that? The master. Leonard, what does this verse speak to you?
I think it speaks of sonship. Just like that God is a father to the fatherless, and we as his children, we grow into becoming sons and daughters of God, the Father, and having this relationship with him. How he teaches us, how he shows us, he guides us, he directs our paths. I think for me personally, that has been pretty much my walk with God, like the last 20 over years. So how he's brought me to a better place, how he's made me a better person. And by doing so, now I have the experience and the formula to take that and invest that in the next generation.
Come
so
on.
Like how the Bible says to train your child up in the ways that he should go, so that when he grows older, he'll know what to do. And he'll not depart from the way. And so now that's what I'm doing every day, just whether it's by example or by teaching or just showing the word or even praying with the kids. It's given us that that deepening of the relationship has given us a path for the kids to grow and to move forward into.
So good. So good. Ryan, do you wanna add to any of this?
Well, I think Pastor Lauren had that drop the mic moment.
Know, right?
How do you follow up with that?
Right.
But I will say, I think the verse speaks to people that don't have a earthly father can always remember that they have a heavenly father that
Come
is
on.
Perfect without stain and that you can go to and talk to at any time. And like, how amazing is that, right? That we have someone that is perfect that we can go to.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. And to me, I hear where it says not many fathers. To me, it's like a call to action to become that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so be a son, but in turn to that, not to just receive, but I think the fulfillment of disciple, being discipled by someone, is to disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And so for every person in our church watching this, every woman and every man, to be a mother, to be a father, to disciple others, to invest in others, and to be others-centered, I feel that call in this. Not to just share an opinion, that's an instruction, but to be that person that imparts, and that's what we want to do at C3 Toronto, is we want to raise people up that then can be imparting themselves to lead to stand up and be a part of it.
That's awesome.
What are some of the challenges of being a father? Anyone can jump in.
I would say time, right?
Time.
We're all busy, and in society we continue to get busier. There's always something to do. And so I know for me growing up, my dad worked a lot. But what I remember is the times that he spent with me and the quality of it. That's what you remember. You don't remember, oh, my dad has this job and he makes this amount of money. What you remember are those memories. And so as a parent, I want to make sure that that time that I do get to spend with my kids, it's we're making memories. It's something that you know, my kids can look back on.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. And you in particular, your kids have, do you want to speak into the health issues that they have faced?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk in it? Because that's challenging.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, Weston at about 10 months was diagnosed with neutropenia. So he has low white blood cells. And essentially it means that he couldn't be around people that much. We had to protect him. And so it was difficult, you know, he couldn't go into kids church or
for him, it was like the COVID-19 was like the reality of his life from day one. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know you've spoken with Sherry about this and on a video about a year ago, but he, when he turned around three, he was healed of it.
It was a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And you know, it was after a week of you praying at an altar call for us,
come
and
on.
Then we went back to the doctor, and he was healed. I mean, that's the testimony. Unfortunately, the sad part of the story is that now Roman, our little one, he has the same condition.
Wow.
Right? And so we have to go through it all over again. And it's, you know, it's trying to see that your kids have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the success is always going to be that through it, Jesus is going to be revealed.
Come on.
Just Amen. Like it was in Weston, the same is going to happen with Roman.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Christ is the answer, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Pastor Lorne?
Yeah, well, like there comes a point in a father's life as he's raising his kids that he realizes he's actually not raising kids. He's raising fathers and husbands. I'm raising a wife and a mother when I raise my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So we think sometimes that we're just Clark Kent, but we're actually Superman. And in very many ways, that when I see one of my roles is to not just establish identity, but to establish for my son, the journey of masculinity, and for my daughter, the journey of femininity. And in a man, that's at least six different stages. And each different stage, I have to be continually learning and reminding myself that I'm
wow.
not raising a son. Mm. I'm raising a young father, and I'm raising a husband. How is he going to look after his kids? How is he going to look after his wife? Mm. And how is my daughter going to become a mother? And how is she going to become a wife?
Mm-hmm.
So we need. I just have to reframe that we're not raising kids, we're raising kings and queens.
Yeah, wow, yeah,
that's so good.
Good.
Yeah,
so good. What about dad guilt, Leonard? Like speaking about what Ryan was talking about with the time poor thing,
mm-hmm.
and even understanding the responsibility that Pastor Lorne's talking about.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel guilty as a dad?
Oh yeah. I think when I was working in Singapore and working really long hours, it was hard to see the kids. Like probably in a day. You might get like half an hour before bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what worked was being very intentional about making the most of those minutes that I had with them so that there'll be like memories and moments and also moments of impartation as well. So whether it was about just finding out about their day and speaking life into it, what they went through. And I think what really helped as well is for us to try and discover what their love languages were, like how could we feed into their love tanks, the love tank
right.
for the boys. And when we discovered their personalities, we discovered their love languages, and that's kind of like where we connected with each boy because they have different personalities. So like one was like about quality time, whereas the other one was more about words of affirmation. So between Cheryl and I, we sort of, we tag team
yeah.
basically. Yeah, to sort
yeah.
of like, you know, make sure that they were always constantly fed in that way, and that they felt loved, they felt appreciated, and they remember the times that we had together.
Right.
Yeah.
So good. Right. So, Pastor Lorne, we only got a couple of minutes left here. There would be thousands of people watching this and coming from many different stories, many different backgrounds. Some of them have had good dads. Some of them haven't had dads. Some of them are dads that don't feel great. Some of them are dads that feel decent sometimes. Can you just speak into just any wounded hearts, any broken hearts when it comes to fathering?
Well, we all have broken hearts on different levels, don't we? And we all have wounds that we took along the way. So there's no one that lives without wounds of a father. And the reason that is because we've been raised by wounded fathers. And so we need to break the chain of brokenness and break the chain of woundedness. I think that many times we forget the power of just the redemptive story in and knowing where we are on our timelines. And one of the roles of a father, you'll read in Joshua chapter 3, he says that today I'm going to make you great in the eyes of the people. And then in chapter 4, he says, when the kids ask you, and you've got an answer for that. And so many times I think one of the wounds that we share is we've never heard the stories. And as fathers, we need to be telling our children the stories. Wow. Both Psalm 102 and 146 or 145 says that the generations that follow us might know the mighty acts of God because we have told our stories. And one of the deficits in the heart of little boys and little girls is that they have not heard the stories of their fathers, both their failures and their success. And many times we're just quick to tell the stories of great breakthroughs, and we forget to remind them of our humanness and times that we failed. And so what happens when children don't hear the story, and of course that one of the landmark studies done at Emory University is what was the number one contributor to children's emotional health is that they knew the history of their family.
Wow.
And so what we are meant to do as fathers is we're supposed to find time, and you're exactly right, Leonard, kids – spell love, T-I-M-E, where to sit down around a campfire or around a table and remind them who they are and remind them who we are as a family and remind them where they got their name from, remind them of their identity and their great destiny that they have and the inheritance that we have in Christ. And I think many times we have to ask forgiveness as fathers. What do we do with our dads? We forgive them. What do we do as fathers? We ask for forgiveness. And it breaks the chain of brokenness. And when kids have questions and they had no place to take the questions to, what do? They live in the land of question because they're not sure where I fit. They're not sure if I have enough. They're not sure. Little girls wonder, am I pretty? Little boys wonder, am I strong? If they miss the words of their father, they'll live in the land of questions. And so I would say to everybody that's listening, I would ask forgiveness for the stories that were not told to them, for the words that their fathers never said, or if the words that were said were unhealthy or hurtful, forgiveness for those. And I would also ask for them to open their hearts to their heavenly daddy to come and refather them this day because he's waiting to be a father. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, I will be their father and they will be my sons and daughters. And this is the privilege that we have as finding our identity in Christ and receiving our spiritual DNA through inheritance by rightly relating to our Father.
Wow. So good. Can I ask you to follow that up and just pray for people that are watching?
Father, I'm just so thankful today that you have been to us, and you were most of all the great model to your son Jesus. And I thank you that he didn't mind being called son. He preferred to be called son. And today, Lord, there's many of us that feel that we're lacking some connection and some affection and some validation from our earthly fathers. And so today we look to you for that. Spirit of God, I thank you that you're coming in these days and you're reversing the curses that have been placed on the land of fatherless and broken in homes. God, I ask for forgiveness on behalf of all fathers, all spiritual leaders, all people in places of authority that have used their power to hurt rather than heal. And I ask, God, that you would establish the identity of any of the little girls or the big girls or the little boys or the big boys that are watching and allow them to be refathered today and know that they're deeply loved, unconditionally loved, that they're highly favored and their future is secure and that they belong and they'll become great fathers and great mothers in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.